Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. The 6th annual Black Hills Film Festival kicks off today. The 4-day event in Rapid City and Hill City features a lineup of more than 30 films from South Dakota and around the world. There are also several special guests with experiences as actors, writers, directors, and producers, and they're sharing their insights into various aspects of filmmaking. Jenna Green is one of the special guests. She's performed in more than 40 theater productions. She's performed in film, commercials, regularly works as a voice actor for both commercials and animation. She's also worked behind the scenes, assisting with everything from casting to on-set production in both South Dakota and L.A. She's also a graphic artist, and she's conducting a voice acting workshop as part of the Black Hills Film Festival that takes place Saturday morning at 10 at the Hill City Harley-Davidson, and she joins us from her studios at the Dahl Art Center in Rapid City. And Jenna, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Hi, Carl. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm curious if, reading over your resume and all the different things that you've been a part of, the theater productions and everything, I'm wondering if this is something you grew up doing, if you grew up performing.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
It'd probably be pretty hard to fit that resume into the last couple of years, huh?
Yeah. So do you remember the first time that you were ever on stage?
Oh, yeah. I was 14 in high school, and it was the musical Once on This Island.
And what did you like about that?
You know, I think from the time I was little, I was always enamored with TV and theater and musicals and things like that. I grew up watching I Love Lucy and Bewitched and just, like, loving the art of entertaining. And so as soon as I could get my claws into it, I did. And I didn't really never sang before that or anything, so I just went for it because I wanted to do it. And as they say, once you're bitten, you can't get away from it. It sort of burrows deep within you. If you're really meant to do it, if you really love it, no matter what you go through with it and how many times you face rejection, you just keep coming back. We're gluttons for punishment.
Yeah, well, that seems like the tough thing is the rejection. So the love, the passion, that's what that overwhelms all the other things, the self-doubt and the rejection, as you mentioned, that all actors and people in the theater have to face.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think any of us would do any job if we didn't have some sort of passion for it. If we were told no, or, you know, felt like we weren't the one that they were ever choosing, or, you know, we were always in trouble, we would walk away from that job. But when you really, really, you know, when it's in your soul and you really want to do it, you'll find a way to do it. There's definitely people who it's the rejection and you do tend to feel like you're a piece of meat on display for people to judge most of the time in auditions. And there are people who that's a deal breaker for them. But for me, I just never was. I tend to walk away from it going, oh, well, maybe next time.
Well, why not? Why hasn't that, why doesn't that affect you the way it does other people?
Maybe because I have an icy cold heart. I don't know. I mean, there comes to a point, it definitely when you're younger, especially when you're a teenager, you do tend to feel like, well, what did I do wrong? Why didn't they choose me? But the longer you're in it, the more you really just kind of learn to overlook it. And it's important to have other things in your life, too. I mean, if you just solely focused on, I'm going to just go to audition and audition and audition, and if I never get, I mean, you would be consumed by it. So I'm a graphic designer. I'm involved with a lot of animal. I spend a lot of time playing with Phil and Tabby, my own cats. And so there's things that sort of distract me, and those make those rejections and, you know, things fall through. What I've learned, the higher up that I get working, especially out of Los Angeles and even sometimes around here, people are really excited about projects and you get sucked into that and you're like, okay, yeah, this is going to be my next project. And then they fall through or they're put on hold. And you just, you know, it's like anything. We're resilient human beings and we just learn to bounce back and move on, and I find another way to act.
Now, as I mentioned, Jenna Green, you do work as a voice actor, and you're talking about your interest in what you were seeing on television when you're growing up, I Love Lucy, Bewitched, and that sort of thing. Was there at some point when you were a kid that you would mimic what you saw on television, try to imitate Lucy or
Samantha? I'm sure that there was. I more remember, like, putting on clothes that were too big for me and standing on my bed with a hairbrush and mimicking singers. Uh-huh. I was always pretending to be Reba McEntire or Debbie Gibson or the people that I liked. And I just I think kids sort of always emulate what they see because they've got so much imagination, and there's really like no holding back there. We don't really have the inhibitions that we have as an adult. So I'm sure that there were times, you know, I do remember naming a lot of my dolls and stuffed animals. Lucy and Ethel and pet fish were always named after characters on TV or cartoons and things like that.
Now, how did you move into the world of voice acting?
Well, I used to work for a broadcast company, and they would produce commercials and, you know, didn't have the budget to hire out for a voice actor. And at somewhere along the line, they just kind of went, well, the theater girl probably could do this for free. So I went in and did it, and then they just kind of kept coming back for more and more. And so I did it while I worked there. I'd do a few commercials here and there when I was asked to do so, and I never really thought about pursuing it. And then a couple of years ago, some things were suggested to me by my brother, and I thought, well, I'm going to just give it a shot and see what people think. And I had no idea how many people would like the sound of my voice. I mean, I tend to hear a lot of, like, you can hear the theater background, you can hear, you know, that there's inflection and you can alter your voice, and it's just blown up. And it's been about, right about 2 years now that I've been doing it steadily as an income. And I've done, like, I think around 6,000 small voiceover projects in that time.
6,000. Give me an idea of the variety of these projects.
Well, I do a lot of different things. I've done a few little animation things for like whiteboard animations or online animations. Most of the big stuff, you know, the Disney, the Pixar, the Simpsons, things like that, you do have to be in Los Angeles and in the Union to do. But around here, people just don't, I mean, they don't really care where you are for internet projects. Do a lot of voicemail, professional voicemails for people. A lot of industrial sort of like how-to videos or PowerPoints, I will narrate them, a little bit of documentary narrating. There's a new app called NewsPal, and every day I go in and do 30-second news stories for that. So there's a huge variety of it, but that's good for me because if I was just doing one, I do a lot of commercials, a lot of promos. And it allows me to like use my variety and my voice for the different styles.
You're listening to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting, and we're talking with Jenna Green. She's giving a special workshop as a part of the Black Hills Film Festival, which is going on right now. She's talking about voice acting Saturday morning at 10 at the Hill City Harley-Davidson. What does it take to be a good voice actor? Do you need to have that theater background, or is it just simply having a pleasant voice, a flexible voice that can adapt to many different situations?
Well, it's a little bit of all of that, honestly. I mean, you don't have to have a theater background. You don't have to be an actor per se. Obviously, you do have to have a decent speaking voice that people will be able to listen to for long periods of time sometimes. But we have found people, I've worked with people who just naturally have very, very good speaking voices. And that can be taught. That inflection can be taught. They just have to, sometimes it takes a little more working because they're not as used to like being on a microphone or being in front of people. And it, you know, for people even who are on stage, let's face it, we all know it feels a little silly when you're sitting in a room talking to yourself.
I do it every day.
Yeah, exactly. Me too. I took a break from it today. And what am I doing? I'm sitting in front of a microphone. There's a few more hurdles that you have to get over, I think, if you don't have that background, and even sometimes if you do, but it's like anything, really. Skills vary, and there are some people who are very pigeonholed, and they sound like a walking cartoon, and that's what they do, and that's all they do, and there are people who make very good livings off of that because they have a very specific cartoon-sounding voice, or they have a very specific, you know, documentary narrating sound of voice. But I'm lucky enough to have, and there are a lot of people who are more versatile. I was more versatile than I ever thought I was. And you can, once you get comfortable, you learn to read and take the direction and really see like what style of voice you need to use for that. And that's what we're hoping to teach some people this weekend is just go for it and give it a shot. See if it's something you're interested in, if you've been told you have a good voice for this or that there's ways to use it, and you don't have to move to Los Angeles. You don't have to spend thousands upon thousands of dollars on a studio, and you don't maybe have to have all the background and the training that you think you do.
Now, listening to your voice and the different things that you've done, you can do the cartoon voices, and you can also do the mature, you know, woman voice, the
right.
voice that, you know, the narration kind of voice that, oh yeah, I can trust that person, whatever she's saying, I agree with, I believe her. But you can also do the silly part. You know, again, that flexibility, does that make it more fun and interesting for you?
Oh, it does for me, for sure. I mean, some people wouldn't be comfortable necessarily with the silliness, but I just think it's fun to play, because that's what I've done all my life. On stage, I've played character after character, and that's what I loved about it, was becoming somebody else. And that's really no different when it's just your voice. You find that you physically kind of start taking on mannerisms for different characters. But I also really, I get a lot of work as sort of the college age girl who's really excited talking about being on campus for the first time. And I get a lot of that. And it's still, I mean, it becomes fun because it's just easy. It's certain voices for me are very natural, and it's kind of easy money sometimes. And then you have the projects that aren't so easy.
Now, for this voice acting, the workshop, the presentation on a Saturday morning as a part of the film festival, who do you have in mind, or who would you like to see attend this? Who's it designed for?
Well, really, honestly, I would like to see anybody that is either interested in doing it for themselves, whether or not it's just something that they've thought would be fun to try, or they've been told that they have a good voice. But I would also welcome anybody who's just curious as to how the process works. You know, some people just don't, we're not overly exposed in the Midwest to how things work, how animations are put together, how films work and whatnot. So really any of the seminars that we have are just a great opportunity for anybody who just wants to know more about film aspects. They don't have to show up. I mean, I might have a couple of volunteer activities coming, but I'm not going to like put everybody on the spot and make them start trying to do, you know, silly cartoon voices or anything like that. So they're welcome to show up if they just want to listen in and see how I did it. And I think they're going to learn some things that they probably thought weren't possible to do out here in good old South Dakota.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope everybody will come out so we have a good attendance for it. It's the first time that they've ever done anything like this, so get it now.
Now, I understand that you are, you've been on the board of the Black Hills Film Festival?
Yes, I'm one of the newer members. I was brought on board by Sean Covell last fall, I think it was. For some silly reason, he thought that I would be a good addition. So I guess this weekend I get to see if I can live up to it.
So what are some of the other fun events or special events happening over the next few days? Maybe in about a minute and a half or so, you can give a sort of an idea for people who might be curious in checking out the festival.
Yeah, sure. It starts in Rapid City tonight. There'll be a reception at the James Van Nuys Gallery downtown, and then we'll move over to the Elks for three different films, including one that I think was just featured in the newspaper last week at some point, called Bruce and Tass's Bicycle Through China or something like that. It's the Junics, which are really just really interesting couple. We'll start with that, and we have some stuff going on down here tomorrow. If you have the VIP passes, you can come to the parties, which I've heard are the best part. I'm looking forward to that. Then we've got seminars, I think, pretty much every single day, whether they're here in Rapid or up. You can go to blackhillsfilmfestival.org and see the whole schedule and the program for the specific times. We'll be talking about some screenwriting, film documentary making. We have a guy coming out from California to talk about doing post-production on a small budget, which would be interesting for a lot of people out here. There's a huge variety of stuff, and apparently a bunch of parties, that'll be a good time.
All right, so to check out all that, you can go to blackhillsfilmfestival.org. Jenna, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday.
Thank you, Carl.